Our scripture this morning begins with the Old Testament, Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Let those who are wise pay attention to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And then in the New Testament from the Gospel of Luke, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to them, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life is possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God."
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. A man earned a fortune and is disgusted with his adult children's spending. So he demands that his grandson go to public school to learn how to be normal. And on the first day, Grandpa drives the boy to school, and he tells him, "Remember, Harold, if anyone asks about the family, tell them we're poor." So the teacher asks all the children to get up and introduce themselves. And when it came the boy's time, he stood up and he said, "My name is Harold. My mother is poor. My father is poor. My whole family is poor. Even our butler and maids are poor." Now, when you casually ask someone, "What did Jesus teach about the most?" many will say love or the kingdom of God. Which those are the top two. Don't let anybody say that he talked about money more than anything. But he did speak quite a bit about money, or the love of money, or greed. And this was possibly due to the same reason that he spoke about fishing or agriculture or leaders at the time, since they were common to human experience. Because for a parable to be successful, those listening must be able to relate to the analogy. Now, people can easily relate to money because it's experience. However, there's a big difference between mentioning money and teaching about money. For example, while Jesus mentioned money in a fourth of his parables, the parables were not about money. Money was used as an illustration to teach something other than money, usually something related to the kingdom of God. For example, Jesus mentions money in the parable of the unforgiving debtor as an illustration of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus wasn't teaching about money, but about forgiveness. Well, in our passage today, our understanding comes down first to verse 15, where Jesus says, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And we begin with two brothers, one who was concerned about his share of the inheritance. You remember the so-called rich young ruler? He could do just about anything in life except part with his financial assets. For him, money is what God used to be, as George Orwell put it. We recall Jesus' teachings of giving to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Money has greatly changed in my lifetime. When I was a young adult, we used cash or checks to pay bills. Nowadays, many young people are clueless about writing a check. They don't even have any. We use debit or credit cards, or cash apps like PayPal and Apple Pay, Google Pay, Zelle, or Venmo. We pay bills online, and we even set up automatic payments. We buy and sell online. We even pay our church tithe online. But less and less do we use cash. Now, a somewhat new way of investing in today's world is cryptocurrency. And investors tout it as the currency of the future now before it becomes more valuable. But there is a problem. Cryptocurrency is highly speculative. Cryptocurrencies generate no cash flow. So for you to profit, someone must pay more for the currency than you did. And this is what is called the greater fool theory of investment. And this is where Jesus might step in with today's second takeaway verse. "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. Jesus' parable of the rich young fool is not about being wealthy, but about greed. Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance. Is a Greek word meaning to see, as in to understand, to comprehend. Jesus is saying, "You guys, you just don't get it. Open your eyes and guard against greed in all fashion. Keep your wits about you. Do not let greed grab you by the throat and rob you of your life." Greed is a detour that quickly becomes a one-way street to a dead-end road. There's no cul-de-sac. You can't turn around. Once greedy, always greedy. This is the dark little secret about avarice. Once it's got a hold of you, it's got you and you're hooked. You will always be unhappy. What you have will never be enough. No wonder that Jesus said, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." So what would be the opposite of greed? Well, I think it's generosity, something Jesus also taught about. Remember the widow that Jesus and the disciples watched as she put her two coins into the offering, and Jesus told them that she had given more than those who were making a big noise about how much they gave. "Truly I tell you," Jesus said, "this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they have contributed out of their abundance, and she out of her poverty has put in all that she had to live on." And the 10th commandment states that we are not to covet. But what does that really mean? Covetousness is craving more of what you have. You already have enough. Practice generosity by sorting through the abundance of your possessions and start giving things away. Now, I didn't realize how many possessions I had until I moved last year. It was embarrassing, to be honest. And we loaded so many truckloads to our local thrift store and to the church I was serving at the time because they did monthly thrift sales during the summer. And I admit, I will confess, I do still have problems with the amount of Halloween and Christmas decorations that I have. And those of you who've had to help move the boxes, you know that. But I am working on it. I really admire younger generations who practice minimalism. And I am working, slowly but surely, to follow their example. Jesus wants us to simplify our lives. We tend to make life so complicated. And this happens according to the great theologian, I will call him that, comedian, George Carlin. Because we've accumulated an abundance of possessions, or what Carlin calls stuff. In his famous riff on stuff, he says in part, that's all your house is, a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just be walking around all the time. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. That's what your house is, a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. If you got to get a bigger house, why? No room for your stuff. His entire stuff routine is available for watching on YouTube. I highly recommend it. It's not only for laughs, but there's really some great insight into what he's saying. Well, having all this stuff induces worry. And worry becomes a burden that you carry around. A burden that gets heavier with time because you keep buying more stuff, more possessions. And soon you're ill with worry, and that drives you crazy. And this is precisely what happens to the rich man in Jesus' story. I mean, can anyone really be happy for him? This guy is riddled with anxiety. And he thought to himself, oh, what should I do? For I have no place to store all my crops. Oh, woe is me. What should I do? I don't have enough room to store everything. In other words, I have no more room for my stuff. And so now he gets this insane idea. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my stuff, all my crops. And his actual words are my grain and my goods. Stuff. What a fool. The man's passions were possessions, which was also the source of his anxiety. And the remedy for worry is simplification. When we learn to be happy with the simple pleasures of life, a lot of anxiety melts away and gives you pleasure in the process. As someone said, success is getting what you want, is wanting what you get. And Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. The rich man in the parable is not just a fool, he's the greatest fool. His priorities are a mess. He has no awareness of risk, downsides, trends, or dangers, and worse, he is not rich toward God. Jesus was aware that wealth is not without its problems. And yet, because with God all things are possible, even the rich man can gain eternal life. Jesus knew it was not about money, but the love of money. It was not about possessions, but the abundance of possessions. It was not about working hard, but about working only for themselves. It was not about being rich, but about not being rich toward God, which means using our wealth ethically, compassionately, and responsibly, remembering that the things you have prepared, whose will they be? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.